Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Love music? Love interviews with lovely musicians? Search Virgin Radio UK on YouTube to find brilliant album specials with some of the shiniest lights on our playlist, including George Ezra.
This is going to be something I'll remember, and that's a really lovely thing. I don't think I was able to do that in the past.
And James Bay. Come on,
let it go. Don't you agree that everybody needs someone when they feel alone?
Watch all that and more at youtube.com/Virgin Radio UK.
All right, Vassos, who's next?
Our next guest has sold over 25 million books in 92 languages, is a fully paid-up member of the 5am Club, and has taught us all about the monk who sold his Ferrari. His latest bestseller, The Wealth Money Can't Buy, is out now. So please welcome a man who's very good for your karma. It's Robin Sharma.
Good morning, Robin.
I don't think I've ever experienced an introduction quite like that one. So
good. And
thank
you. That's why people come once and I've never seen again.
I have to first of all appreciate you. Number one, I was looking at your Instagram, and congratulations on running the London Marathon.
Thank you.
And secondly, I have to share with you, a number of years ago, I was surfing the internet and I came across Richard Ashcroft playing Bittersweet Symphony on your show.
Yeah.
And I've got to say, that's one of the all-time great performances.
Thank you. It was amazing. Well, nothing to do with me. I mean, we have the show that he came on. That was our first show here.
Amazing.
So he came in at 6:30, especially to, which is usually the time he goes to bed, not gets up, to play for us. But thank you. That's very sweet of you. Robin Sharma, who we're talking to now, he's the guy that NASA call when they want things done. Why did NASA call you, Robin?
Well, I work with a lot of successful organizations. I've been mentoring billionaires and sports superstars and entertainment royalty for about 15 years. And a lot of these people, especially the tycoons, they are cash rich, but they're life poor. So I've been teaching them this model that I talk about in the book, the 8 forms of wealth, to try to help them not only scale their fortunes, but live with more peace. I think serenity is the new luxury right now.
Yeah.
And I try to help them live better lives. You're into fitness. Vassos is into fitness. I'm into fitness. So the second form of wealth, I help them get healthier. I help them renew their family lives, bring more adventure, and basically live a much richer life in the truest way.
And is there a common theme? Because I know you work with Microsoft and all the FedEx, all the big companies. Is there a common theme when these people come to you? Do you sort of smell the same ingredients, as it were?
Well, I think one of you just said pride. You said it, Chris. Pride comes before the fall.
Yeah.
And if you study great empires, I love studying the great empires. Look at the Roman Empire or whatever. And I just find the decline is so interesting. And I think some of these companies, they're so successful that they become vulnerable.
Yeah.
And I think it's easy when a company succeeds or when a human being becomes successful and starts to really win, to believe your own press releases, to forget who puts food on your family table, to stop innovating.
Mm. I think hubris is the word we're going towards here, isn't it?
I think it is. In ancient Rome, there was actually a soldier, and the soldier had one job. He would stand behind the military commander called the Dux, and he'd whisper in his ear, "Memento homo, memento homo, memento homo. Remember, you're just a man."
That was Marcus Aurelius.
You're not
it?
A god.
Yeah, because he was. That was his job. Remember, you're just a bloke. Amazing. So your book so far, the first book of note, The Monk Who Sold His Ferrari, you self-published that back in the 90s. Just tell us about the world then. And you were a lawyer at the time, I understand. And this was a sort of side hustle going on. Just give us a bit of flavor of what was going on there.
Well, Chris, I think I became a lawyer for all the wrong reasons. You know, the people around me said that if you become a lawyer, you're going to wake up happy and you'll be successful and you'll have it made. The only problem is, I think success without soulfulness is an empty victory. So I became successful, had a nice place, nice car, Yet I'd wake up in the morning, look in the mirror, and I didn't like the person looking back at me. So I decided to recreate my life. I learned how to meditate. I interviewed elders, read a lot of great philosophical books, tried a lot of different modalities, and I made some profound changes. And so you're right. I decided to write a book to share my transformation. And I decided to self-publish it in a 24-hour copy shop. My first seminar, 23 people attended. 21 of them were my family members.
Wow.
And yet I just kept on going. And one day I happened to be in a bookstore. There were about 5 or 6 copies on consignment. The bookstore wouldn't even pay for it. But I'd go sign them because someone in publishing told me if an author signs the books, the bookstores can't return
it. It's called a signed copy is a sold copy.
Yeah, but they couldn't return it. So I'd go sign the books everywhere. And so, and as I was signing one day, a gentleman's looking over my shoulder. Long story short, it was Ed Carson, president of HarperCollins, and they bought the world rights.
For?
The massive sum of 7,500 Canadian. Canadian.
But surely you get residuals from that as well. Or was that a buyout?
I get a little bit.
Oh, thank God for that.
I get a little bit. Jeez. Not as much as people think, though.
It's funny that first seminar, 23 people, 21 members of your family, because Eckhart Tolle tells similar stories about his time in Hampshire and where we are. And he used to have a Saturday morning surgery and 12 people used to pitch up, and now look at him, you know. But that it's the same, isn't it? It was the same then as it is now. It's the same true nature.
Well, you know, if you look at the Sistine Chapel ceiling, you look at the Taj Mahal, you look at the Shard, you look at any great piece of art from any master or creator, and they all have a trait in common, and it's patience. And patience is not something, a virtue we applaud much anymore. But, you know, when it comes to my journey, it's amazing how far you can get when you're a minimalist versus a maximalist. And you just stay on one mission, and people laugh at you, and people try to knock you down, and people, you know, I don't think you should feed the trolls. I think instinct is more powerful than intellect. And if you trust your instinct, it's not going to go perfectly, but it's amazing what happens.
Yeah. In the story, in the book, the story of the book, The Wealth Money Can't Buy, out now, Robin Sharma here to talk about this, the 8 hidden habits to live your richest life. You actually give us clues to where you are when you're writing each bit. So you've been all over these different places. And so are you leaving it till thoughts come to you? How was the book composed? How was it compiled? When did you think you were given permission by whatever it is that's out there to write it?
Wow, what a great question. I don't write to sell books. I write because it's a subject I want to write on. And I write a book because I'm curious about it and it lights me up. So the model is the 8 forms of wealth the book is based on. And that's the model I was teaching to the billionaires.
Right.
And it was working so well with them, helping them live these great lives, that I said, you know what, I want to share this 8 forms of wealth model with everyone. Because the reality is our society has almost hypnotized us and told us that if we make a lot of money or hustle and grind towards a lot of things, we're going to be happy. And it makes me think of what Jim Carrey said. He said, I wish everyone could be rich and famous to realize it doesn't make a difference.
I know.
So the 5th form of wealth in the book is money. We all agree money is important to put food on the family table, to handle our responsibilities, to do things for people we love. But it's only one of the 8 forms of wealth. And so it's only when we live and feed all 8 forms of wealth that I think we truly live our richest life. And the book was a hard book to write because I wrote it over a year, 20 different versions, probably 10,000 changes each version. But I wanted it to be the best that I could make it for my readers.
It's really good. It's really concise. It's really pithy. You know, I read books like this for a living, and I read them because I like them anyway. And there's some new stuff in here, and that's hard to find nowadays. You know, you talk about Mahatma Gandhi, and you talk about Mother Teresa, and they have so few possessions, don't they? Like 5 or 6 things, you know, at the end of their lives. And one of those is a bed, you know, and that whole thing about, you know, think big, live little, live light. I now understand why snakes shed their skin. It's shedding what's no good for them anymore. It's shedding too much of the past when there's new growth inside. And it's about growing from the inside out, isn't it? It's not about acquiring things from the outside in, hoping that somehow they will replace the work. You've got to do the work. people are obsessed with morning rituals. You wrote the 5 a.m. Club. Just speak to that a bit, if you don't mind.
Well, you know, the Spartan warriors say it better than I ever could. They say, sweat more in training and you'll bleed less in war. You know?
And, that's going on the wall.
And I believe, you know, the time from 5 to 6 a.m. is the magic hour.
Yeah.
And there's just, we live in the age of dramatic distraction. People are in so many ways cyber zombies and they're checked out. And so from 5 to 6 is a time to do the work, as you say. It's the time to work on your mindset. It's time to commune with the great masters through literature. It's time to paint. I saw you doing some planks.
Yeah.
What's better than a morning workout?
9 o'clock, get them done.
So the way you start your day dramatically sets the tone for the day. And then back to your point, Chris, about things. I really don't think there's anything wrong with getting things. Like, I am a minimalist as well, but there's nothing wrong with things. I just think they shouldn't become our gods. It's better if there are servants.
Yeah.
There's a chapter in the book called The Multi-Billionaire and the Very Empty Mansion. So my team received a call from a celebrity tycoon who you would know. And I decided, yes, I'll mentor him. So I flew to his country, showed up at his city, attended his home, most magnificent home I have ever seen in my life. There was an aide at the front door. She walks me inside, past his art collection, past his indoor car collection, down a set of steps. She said, if you go down the hallway, the mogul, she didn't call him the mogul, but she said, he's in the office and he's waiting for you. Right. So I walk down the hallway. I smell cigar smoke. For Whom the Bell Tolls by Metallica is playing. Door opens up and there's the tycoon. We talked for about 2 hours. He told me how he built his businesses, scaled his fortune, built this extraordinary financial life. And after 2 hours of talking, I asked him, I said, who do you get to share this with? Long pause. I'm all alone. So cash rich, life poor, not a good way to go.
Oh my goodness. And do you have an automatic place to begin with somebody like that in helping them?
The first thing I would say is, what does your ideal life look like?
Yeah. I mean, you talk about it in here, don't you?
Yes.
Live life backwards.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, I think it's one of the chapters towards the end of The Wealth Money Can't Buy is have a living funeral. And another chapter is eat your last supper today.
Yeah.
And I think the larger point, I mean, that I did that. One of my friends, you might have heard of Nightmares on Wax. I was just at a show in London last Friday. And we were in Rome with our partners, and we said, we got into this conversation, what would your last meal be? And it was a great conversation. But I think the larger point is, if each day we can take a minute and check in with the shortness of life and our mortality, I think we would live to the point, you know? And one of the questions in my journaling every morning, I ask 5 questions. I can get into them if you want. But the 5th journal prompt just takes a second over my morning coffee, but I say, what needs to be said at the end?
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Love the 80s? Then you'll love Virgin Radio 80s Plus.
Love Chris Evans. Love the 80s.
Over on Virgin Radio.
80s Plus.
And if you can remember what needs to be said by your loved ones and those who matter at the end, then you can use today as a platform for moving towards your mountaintop.
So that's memento mori you're talking, speaking to there. And then you've got that great quote in the book as well. Unfortunately, life has to be lived forwards, but can only be understood backwards. However, that means you can, if you, on radio shows, TV shows, we do it all the time. It's called back timing. So we know where we want to be with the show. And so we back time from there and we produce backwards. Well, you can live life like that from a planning point of view, as long as you have a strategy and don't confuse tactics for strategy. You need the strategy first.
Well, our world, it's a fascinating point. Our world loves tactics.
Yeah.
You know, tell me the rituals, tell me the routine, tell me the tools.
Yeah, I bet you hear that all the time.
All the time, like, give it to me.
Yeah,
but But your point is important, which is methodology without philosophy is an empty victory. You can have all the tactics and morning routines and pre-sleep rituals in the world, but you might be climbing the wrong mountain.
Yeah.
So philosophy and actually doing a radical act in this noisy world of thinking in silence, whether it's getting up early or staying up late or going for a nature walk and thinking about what's most important so you can be live on point versus reactive. There's another of the eight forms of wealth, and it's family. And this chat we're having reminds me of the importance of family. I actually flew my parents there. My dad's going to be 86 in June. My mom's in her 80s. I actually flew them into London so we could spend some special time together. And the more years I get behind my belt, the more I realize there is a form of wealth called family and good friends. And it's worth more than all the gold in the world. You know, I think it's really important.
I love it. And obviously, you know, counter to that, there's the wrong tribe as well, we should talk about. So the eight forms of wealth are growth and wellness and family and craft and money and community and adventure and service. And then within these chapters, if you like, or subsections, there are little stories, little vignettes, which are so easily edible. The discomfort of growth is always smaller than the heartbreak of regret. I've heard things like that before, but I've never heard it put like that. And your book is full of these original takes on things that have been said before. Section 16, it's wise to keep a journal. Yeah, we hear about journaling all the time. But like you say, you break it down into these particular questions. Do you want to go through those if you don't mind? Because it's so handy.
Absolutely. So I think journaling in many ways is prayer on paper.
Yep.
It's certainly reflection on paper. And we all want to be the kind of people who follow through on our self-promises. I think that's how you build personal power. You say, I'm going to go for a run, or I'm going to get up at 5 a.m., or I'm going to send a thank you note to someone who was nice to me, or I'm going to read that book. And a lot of us, unfortunately, we break our own self-promises, and that degrades self-respect. And someone who doesn't respect themselves doesn't respect others and doesn't respect the world. So writing every morning is very powerful. It promotes clarity, and vague plans lead to vague results. But when you're clear, then you know what you can do and create the life you want. If you're going through a painful time, a lot of us have difficulty, tragedy. It's a tough world right now, a world of polycrisis. I would really invite any of your many listeners, free flow writing in a journal about how you're feeling. To heal a wound, you need to feel a wound. If you're in pain, process through the pain in a journal. I mean, for thousands of years, people have processed through and released pain on a crisp, clean, white piece of paper. So it's a great way to let go of the pain if you're struggling right now. Third thing you can do in a journal is gratitude. We know from positive psychologists like Sonia Lyubomirsky that gratitude is the antidote to fear. So by writing something, I know it sounds so simple, but writing that you have a roof over your head, it makes me think of the Persian proverb, Chris, I cursed the fact I had no shoes until I saw a man who had no feet.
Yeah.
So just writing deliberate gratitude is powerful.
It's in there.
Yeah, so journaling is great.
Beautiful quotes. Your hurters are your helpers. Great section. Very swiftly followed by Hang with Clowns, Expect a Circus. Sort of two takes on the same issue there.
Yeah, well, Hang with Clowns, Expect a Circus. A lot of us, we allow energy vampires and dream stealers into our lives.
Yeah.
I think you can live your richest life or you can be around toxic people. You can't do both.
Yeah.
And so it's a radical act of self-caring and increasing your productivity and your performance and your happiness, to ask yourself this question: who are the three people who steal my joy? Those are the three people who, every time you say, I'm going to run a marathon, I'm going to create a masterwork, I'm going to write a screenplay, I'm going to find true love, I'm going to start a spiritual enterprise to bring more peace to my life, and they go, that wouldn't work, or that's unreasonable or not possible. So when you strip out the three energy vampires, and then the counterpoint to that question, who are the three people who fuel my joy?
Yeah.
These are the people who get you, who celebrate you, who are your champions. The kind of friends, perhaps, 3 o'clock, you're in a foreign country in trouble, and they say, I'm on the next plane.
Yeah.
keep those people even close.
And the funny thing is, once you get rid of the three vampires, there's another three vampires.
They're all over.
Yeah, exactly. And it becomes a habit, doesn't it? And in the end, I think that it gets around the vampire network that you're not up for grabs anymore.
Yeah.
And they just all fall away.
Well, I think it's about boundary setting. And a lot of us, I'm not judging just reporting, but a lot of us are really poor at boundary setting. And a lot of, we're all nice people. And so we're nice, and so we keep the wrong people in our lives. And it makes me think of this powerful idea, which is when it comes to relationships, reason, season, lifetime.
Right.
Some people come into our life for a reason.
Yeah.
Some people come into our life for a season. And a few come into our life for an entire lifetime. And then people say, well, you know, my best friend, he's been with me for 25 years. He's my number one mate. Yes, he's bringing me down because I'm growing and I want to do amazing things with my life. And I'm a possibilitarian and I read and I get up at 5 a.m. And he doesn't get it, but he's my best friend for 20 years. You know what I would say? Love him from afar.
Yeah. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Right. How could this be worse? Defending the health of your mind. When we're problem stacking, get good at savoring. It's just all so... I mean, what did you leave out? This must have been amazing because it's so distilled, so beautifully distilled.
Well, I tried to cover all of the eight forms of wealth. I tried to provide a manual that would really serve people. There's one chapter in The Adventure. So the seventh out of the eight forms of wealth in The Wealth Money Can't Buy is adventure.
Yeah.
I mean, when we were born into genius and then we get resigned into mediocrity.
Oh, and beyond.
You still have a sparkle in your eye.
Big
you
time.
Know, I the 5M Club book, there's Mr. Riley and me and Michal, the gentleman I travel with, my teammate. We said, like, Chris is like Mr. Riley. Like, you're your own man. You're sitting there doing planks and this kind of thing. You know, and so adventure and running your own race and not losing the sparkle in your eye in this messy, dangerous, yet beautiful world is important. So one chapter in that section is called Go Ghost for a Year.
Yeah.
Go Ghost for a Year is basically, you know, I think we're too much in the world. And if you're too much in the world... and it's noise, you miss the signal.
Yep.
And so ghost is my humble challenge to the reader of that chapter to go to the place you've always wanted to go to, whether it's Medellin, whether it's Tokyo, whether it's Vietnam, whether it's Stockholm. Sell your phone, go to this place for a year, go alone if you can,
yeah.
Read the classics, learn to meditate, do some amazing things, discover your values, ask yourself how you want to live, and then come back kind of like Neo in the old movie, The Matrix, born anew. Now, of course, a lot of people can't go for a year, so do it for 6 months. Can't do it for 6 months, do it for a month. Can't do it for a month, do it for a week.
The sugar challenge. So interesting, the sugar challenge.
So the 30-day sugar challenge.
Oh, my God.
The naked sunbathing rule.
Yeah.
Take a bath in a forest. That's the second form of wealth, which is wellness, because someone once said to me, health is the crown on the well person's head that only the ill person can see. So if we have good health, that is a wealth worth more than all the money in the bank.
And it's all you know, it's all about the body and it feeds into the mind and mind health, of course. But, you know, this you can think with your mind or you can whole body think. And if you whole body think, it just... You can put your mind back on the bench, you know, you can bench your mind for a while, can't you? And because the whole world is set up for the left side of our brain, which is the binary side, the pluses and the minuses. Well, we know the whole of joy lives in the right-hand side, but the world, you know, within cities, not forests, forest bathing, etc., is good, is set up for the opposite. And that's why you have to get into your body, because the body feeds into the right side of your brain, not the left side. The left side's there, but it's like pull for emergency. That kind of thing, isn't it? And that from cell phone to sell your phone. I like that.
Well, I just think an addiction to distraction is the death of your creative production. I was looking at some research. Did you know that people are on their phone 4.7 hours every day? That amounts to almost 3 months on the phone each, 3 months on the phone each year. And according to the latest research, 75% of human beings check their phone within 10 minutes of waking up each morning.
Yeah.
That first hour, whether it's at 5 a.m. or whatever time, that first hour will set the tone for your mindset, yeah. your heart set, yeah. your health set, your soul set. I think you want to have some stillness. You want to maybe have a cup of tea, write in a journal, or listen to some great music.
Yeah.
But that profoundly sets the tone for the rest of the way your day will unfold. And when you say fitness and taking care of your body, I think getting fit is the one move that lifts every yeah. other dimension of your yeah. life, whether it's
mood follows action, doesn't it? And action.
Oh yeah.
Physical. So it's funny because again, if you reverse engineer what you just said. Well begun is half done. You know, really well begun is nearly all done. So if you look at the first hour of the day to set up the rest of the day, if you keep going upstream to that, it's the first minute of that hour to set up that hour. And if you look at that first minute, it's the first few seconds of that minute. It's, for me, it's the three beats. So when I wake up, I own the first three breaths. So conscious breaths in through the nose, out through the mouth. That's the first three things I do. And then that sort of hands me my own keys to my own door of the day.
Wow. I mean, that you just gave me a shiver up my spine. No, seriously.
It's hard to give you a shiver.
You are like Yoda. You know, but I think what I try to do, and I know it sounds, I'm not going to dismiss it because it really works. And mantram have been around for centuries yeah. as a tool to keep your mind focused. But what I say, as simple as it sounds, I get up and I just say, this is going to be a great day, you know? Right. And then when I take a shower, I do a shower meditation. And when the water is washing over me, I actually have the intention that any residue, any resentment, any insecurity, any fear is washing out of me. Yeah. And it's kind of a little ritual to let go of yesterday's negativity, if there is any.
I think it works, man.
I think it's important.
That's why yeah. I take two. I take one in the morning.
Yep.
And I do the washing off the day before I go to bed so I can try and sleep without that day as well. That's what I try and do.
Well, Romans take long baths. You know, baths are really powerful yeah, for thinking are. And for recreation.
Listen, we're out of time, man.
Great to see you.
Robin, great to see you. You're always welcome. Great book.
You're so kind.
Great book. The 8 Hidden Habits to Live Your Richest Life, The Wealth Money Can't Buy by Robin Sharma. It is out now, and he is awesome.
When you want your favorite 80s songs to lift your mood, play Virgin Radio 80s Plus. DAB Digital Radio, on the app, on your smart speaker, and at virginradio80splus.co.uk.
Love Chris Evans. Love the 80s.
Virgin Radio.
80s Plus.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.